Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I have a lot to go through, but I think maybe it's time to probably do a call out to get a health and comfort check. And I just say that because today is probably, I guess one should probably look at today as equivalent to December 7th when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, because our federal government has now attacked. They've been attacking, right? But this is where they have drawn the line, and the attack is a full frontal compulsion. You must, now are the consequences of your failure to comply. One should understand that when it comes down to tyranny, exercising power that is not possessed is tyranny. We are living in the times where people couldn't even fathom this. The framers did not even fathom this, but the framers didn't even understand. Well, I think they understood the First Amendment petition. There's no doubt in my mind they did. They kind of understood common law grand juries and how these things were just integral in the fabric of our society. However, they had no clue how bad it was going to get, how a government would actually turn its back on the actual law itself and place themselves above the law. Folks, we have been letting them get by and getting away with violating their oaths, even though the teeth has been in the Constitution of holding them accountable. If we do not start demanding that they comply and be held accountable, then what's the point? Seriously, what is the point? What's the point of this show? What's the point of even educating you? You might as well just bend over and take it. And so I told you before, I'm not going to quit until I realize that we've gone too far. There's just nothing that can be done at this point because the states have fully capitulated. But I'm seeing actually more and more resistance within the states. This is why I told you, we're not even going to get into the details. If you want to know what's going on in your state, who can you start working with and who can you start building an alliance in fighting back and holding government accountable? Start doing petitions, start pushing for common law grand juries, and start getting people that are in office replaced with people that will actually fulfill their oath of office. As you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. So we're actually seeing that we're flipping on the Bolshevik Revolution. Remember, the Bolshevik Revolution really started gearing up last year. They were not going to take Trump. And as a matter of fact, they did everything they could to start creating these grievances that were going down, basically the woke grievance. You know, how dare you be white? How dare you have a business? How dare you, not bow to, Mother Earth or to some demographic? Folks, they are winning the Bolshevik Revolution. That's the way I see it. I see people that are, they're learning. And I've spent my time on the weekends and the evenings and the only time I do that is when my wife is not here and she's working, because my evenings, weekends, and time outside of the normal time is hers, because I don't have that much time left. And so I want to make sure that we have that quality time. I want her to think and know, she needs to know that she's the number one in my life. Next to that is Christ. Or right there with that. Anywho, as we as we look at today, I don't know how many of you, but I'm sure everybody knows somebody that has been affected, has just lost their job because they've refused to get the jab. There are many people out there. And I'm telling you, one of the things that kind of has come up in conversation, and it's actually kind of like one of those, well, you know, it's the duh. Why is it that all of a sudden there have been countries that have been pushing back on what they've been receiving for, quote-unquote, this vax? I think it was a Pfizer vaccination, or maybe it was a Merck, that went out to Japan that they realized it was magnetized because there was metal in it. Those types of things are starting to become prevalent. So it's kind of gone, well, what happened to the safe vax to now these really dangerous vax where, you know, people are, you know, there was, I forget where it was, but somebody, some nation was using the vax, and all of a sudden the new lot of vaccinations they had, there was a high percentage of immediate responses, bad responses. And so, well, the fact is that maybe the vax that they're sending out isn't the good, clean, pure one that all of the leaders, they all stepped up and got it first, and they were probably told, hey, you want to get this wave, because the wave behind that is the wave that's going to probably kill a lot of people. Folks, this is not coming across anybody's lips, but read the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones has put it out that there are way too many people, that a lot of people must die. And they don't care who it is. They don't care how they get there, because they know, the elitists know, that they're protecting themselves. They're the ones that are implementing these things that will actually, you know, cause you harm, and they're indemnifying themselves. Look at how many people in Congress do not have to get the jab. And they basically say, well, and just remember, in the ratification debates, in the Massachusetts ratification debates, Congress could not create a law that they could immune themselves from. And they're doing it. They're doing and that's an indictment in how bad and how evil it is getting. You know, if somebody is going to do something and they say, hey, you know, this is a good, safe thing to do, then they would be the first to actually take that shot, or the last, whatever. Fact of the matter is, we are looking at a day of infamy in the United States. I had a conversation that it basically went down like this, that there are going to be so many people that are going to be impacted by the state mandates that are basically following the federal mandates, that there may be so many pissed off people that there may be some assassination attempts. And my conversation basically, you know, kind of concluded really quick with, you know, I hope that that doesn't happen. I hope that people, you know, realize that they have to start using the Constitution as the tool that it's supposed to be. But the fact of the matter is, this gentleman that made this comment that says, I think that people are going to be so desperate that they're going to reach into their, you know, their cabinet, their safe, or wherever their guns are, and they're going to have to take justice into their own hands. But that's not justice. That is not justice. So I'm hoping, as a civil society, we haven't gone down that insanity. But one of the things that has just, it just absolutely floors me, that over the past 4 or 5 months, there is such division over this inoculation, this vaccine. How there are people that are so vexed, they're so possessed with this, Akim, you're not getting vaxxed, you're killing us. And I'm going, really, why is it that they believe that they're in jeopardy? They've been vaccinated from it. But they're seeing that people that have been vaccinated are getting sicker and dying. Last week, Last week, over 80% of the people that died from COVID had the vaccine. Over 80%. I am here to tell you that the reason that they died had nothing to do with the fact that there are unvaccinated people. The unvaccinated people aren't the ones dying. They don't have that injection. So in other words, they're not shedding. What is happening is these people that are getting the injections and these boosters are shedding the crap that they get injected, and they're infecting themselves and others. Others that have had that shot. Sadly to say, I believe that we're looking at the kickoff or the beginning of the loss of humanity. And I mean the loss of life in humanity. This is a very destructive course that we have started on. What is it going to take to wake you up? If you do not, you don't necessarily have to go out and, you know, join every group, but you have to start understanding what you can do and how you can do it. If you want to get involved in your county, if you want to get involved in your state, give us a call, 425-270-5416, or why don't you send me an email and say, hey, I live in this state, I live in this county, what can I do and who can I start working with? If we don't have anybody local with you, we'll start getting you connected with other people anyway. And who knows, you may be just connected with us. I'll get more into this when we come right back from this break.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that I've been talking about is getting businesses involved. And so if this isn't a wake-up call to the small businesses that are actually seeing how many good people are being let go that are in the workplace. So you remember how we said that there are all sorts of people that, you know, just don't want jobs or not looking for jobs? Well, it's changed instantly. So the unemployment figures and the American economy has just taken a shift to where the government is controlling this, so many standards of labor now that we're living in a we're converting ourselves into a communist regime while we still have a constitution. While the constitution is still viable, we see the court system, the Supreme Court, turning its back on the constitution. They're going to make judgments and decisions based upon their whims and desires, driven by their agendas. That's how it's been for well over a century. The Dred Scott case was driven by a desire of an agenda than it had anything to do with the facts of the law and the Constitution. So, what are we going to do? What is it that you're going to do? One of the things I think you have to do, it's paramount. You're going to have to get on your knees and pray. And you need to pray for all those people who've been adversely affected from this iron fist of tyranny. You have to pray that they have, you know, the blessings they need, that they can sustain themselves, that they don't have to compromise, that they can, you know, successfully overcome these challenges. There's no doubt in my mind that there are opportunities. But back to these businesses, in your prayers, pray that the businesses soften their hearts and actually start recognizing the importance that they play in our government, that they have to get involved. They are the engine of our economy, and they are the engine of what finances government. Not only the financing of government, financing of campaigns and so forth. Unfortunately, there's so many businesses that have been crippled because of the shutdown that many of them have actually gone under. A lot of the small businesses that didn't have the deep pockets, you know, the profits and, you know, the holdings and shareholders' investments, that they didn't have the resources to fall upon. This is why we've seen so many small businesses decimated in the community. And it's not going to get any better. So hopefully these small businesses will be able to help these people find a home in working and helping people get back on their, you know, on their two feet. But if they don't start getting involved and they don't start actually saying, you know what, we need to start having conversations of who supports the Constitution. You got to put away the Republican agenda and the Democratic agenda. Both of those agendas is fatal for your liberty. What you need to do is you need to have full focus. This is why, as people start joining the Constitution Party or any alternate party that is willing to work together, because the Constitution Party should be willing to work with anybody who wants to stand fully on the Constitution, any other party. So I mentioned, and I think I mentioned this last week, that there's this party called the Independent American Party. I had a quick conversation with, I believe he's the national chair. His name's Will. I'll get more information about him. I'm hoping to have a conversation with him this week so that we might be able to air that conversation. The question is, are people, our leaders, our entities, our organizations willing to put aside their differences? Our religions and people of their religious faiths, are they willing to put that aside, not abandon, but put the interests of those things aside so that we can unite, agree, and stand on the Constitution? This is where we have to unite, my friends. We can't unite out over here on some Christian faith. We have to unite on the Constitution, or denomination, I should say. And see, that's the problem. Anybody, and I'm going to tell you, because there's a good chance that you probably go to church, and I know in this local area where I live, that there are pastors and ministers that are all about you know, everybody coming unto them. Just like the, and I'm going to use the John Birch Society as an example that, you know, hey, the way they think and how they see it is how it's to be done. They're not unifying with anybody. You can join them and be a part of their solution, but they do not offer the real solution. As a matter of fact, I know that with the John Birch Society, and I know that many of the churches, like the, some of the ones I know here, I mean, they're the same people as the John Birchers. And I do understand their radical views. And when I say radical, I mean they're non-objective. When you go down the path of saying, this is how we, you have to think the way we think, then all of a sudden you have crossed that line of objectivity and open dialogue and being able to actually converse, because you know as well as I do, my friends, you're not conversing with somebody when their mind is made up. They're either going to convince you to follow them or you're their enemy. And that's how I've been treated by the John Birchers. And that's how I've been treated by lots of people that are out to save their entity or maintain relevance for the organization that they're supporting. Well, if we don't lose ourselves in the Constitution, we are going to lose our Constitution. And what I mean by that is if we don't put aside the paradigms that we possess and we don't put aside the paradigms that these institutions that we're parts of that are, you know, what they believe is grasping for their last ounces of relevance, if we don't put ourselves into the Constitution and standing on it, using it as in everything that we do in getting government into compliance, then you're going to be looking at, you know, these small boats, these ships, these ocean liners of institutions sinking. Because they are not uniting, and divided they will fall. And so this is so important, my friends. This is how the Lord blessed the people of this nation. You know, I wish they would have emphasized more. I wish people would have actually wrote the obvious, wrote to said, hey, oh, by the way, please pay attention to one thing. Even though the Puritans still looked down upon the Anglicans, they did join, they did make concessions, and they put aside their self-interest and institutional interests so that we could all survive. They put life that precious to where they put those types of things that they thought was really important aside for something more important, for life itself. And so as you look at what is happening and as you digest this over the next week, over the next month, I'm not going to talk about this much more. As you digest this, process this information and just ask yourself, what is it going to take for people to actually, how much time does it take to go and start collecting signatures for a petition? There is a strategy. We have given you strategies of what you can do to hold government accountable, to flip these things around. I pray that the next few months, that the next few, whatever the duration and time is, days, years, whatever, I pray that it is insignificant in what we have to do in unifying and getting the direction and getting this movement and the momentum of the movement to a point where it actually starts taking over. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I will tell you is those of you who have just been affected and have lost your jobs, I mean, I can't believe I've seen people that have basically, because they took the jab, their spouse is divorcing them. I'm going, wow. People, I understand that we're all having to make these decisions, but you know, to throw away a marriage till death do us part, wow. I mean, it's almost like, you know, signing up for that bank account or something. I mean, it's one thing if all of a sudden your spouse comes home and they have 666 stamped into their forehead. Okay, you know, you may want to have a real serious conversation on the direction of your marriage. But, you know, somebody getting a vaccination because they have been compelled to do it or they lose their job and they understand the importance of the finances and so forth, come on. I just can't believe the division and the destruction that is coming from this tyranny. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to actually have some need-to-know news, and we're going to get into that need-to-know story regarding the Biden administration and the vaccines and so forth. But that's when we come back. So please stay tuned, and we will actually start talking about those fines and how they're affecting businesses with these mandates. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Oh, yeah. So I'm also kind of curious because it's happening now as, the effects of supposedly the national school walkout. Now, the question is, how will the news media spin it? Will they not cover it? Will they not even make comment of it? Will they not even say, you know, and as a matter of fact, folks, you know, I don't believe in civil disobedience, but I do believe that if you're going to actually protest, probably the one place you should protest is shutting down the media. Now, when one goes out to protest out in the streets, you affect the commerce and so forth. If you're going to affect anybody, you need to affect the media. You need to shut down the press. You need to make it so that they can't actually deliver their papers in the morning. You need to make it so that they can't get the anchors for the morning coffee, the morning shows, and that crap. The evening anchors and so forth. Go in and shut down access in and out of your local TV stations, newspapers, and so forth, and then watch what happens. and see how they spin why they don't have people to talk, why they didn't have a newspaper to be delivered on a particular day. Take them down. Go after them for being literally the propaganda machine for the communist revolution. If you really feel like civil unrest and civil disobedience is a tool, go there. That's who you really need to hurt. Or I should say, not hurt, you know, physically, but, you know, shut them down. Go and shut them. That's what the counterculture revolution did in the 60s. The Weather Underground, they commandeered radio stations and so forth. They actually went in while they were on air and took over and, you know, started talking and people started tuning in. Anyway, if you want to actually get out with your frustration because you have nothing left to do, then that's where you want to go and see how well you can affect their operations, because if you can affect their operations, then everybody notices, and everybody will notice that they're going to spin it, and they won't tell you, they're not going to cover it. This is why you may want to get some other agencies out there to actually cover it, so that, you know, that they can actually say, oh, look at this, Fox was shut down, or NBC was shut down because, and they'll have to go through, some of the signs that the crowd is holding, you know, stop the propaganda, stop the narrative. Anyway, let's go ahead and dive into this, because I really believe that when we start talking about what they're doing in this vaccine enforcement, there is, you know, some ahas and how they're basically punishing with an iron fist corporations, businesses, states, and so forth. So G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. The Biden administration has included a vaccine enforcement mechanism in the $3.5 trillion, 465-page Build Back Better bill that will enable the government to enforce fines on employers who employees do not get the vaccine. The mechanism will allow a tenfold increase in fines for businesses with 100 or more employees that willfully and repeatedly violate a section of the labor law that deals with workplace hazards, of which COVID-19 is now a part. So this is how they injected that. But see, let me ask you this. Where is the enumerated power in the Constitution for the federal government to dictate anything regarding labor laws? Workplace hazards, age limits, doesn't matter. They have no enumerated power. As I've been complaining, you know, all of these little appendages that they have created unconstitutionally and have given themselves these powers and the enforcement capabilities. See what they're doing with all of this? It doesn't matter if you're going to try to attack abortion. It doesn't matter if you're trying to attack this vaccine issue. It doesn't matter. They're going to come at you with the labor arm to smack you down with this instead of the Health and Human Services arm. They're all working together. They're all connected. And the real connection between all of this is that they're unconstitutional. They don't have the constitutional power. This is not a formal power. This is tyranny. This is despotism. The fines, now here it is. The fines can go as high as $70,000 for serious infractions and $700,000 for willful or reported violations. Republican Congressman Chip Roy introduced a bill that would prevent Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, and other agencies from imposing fines on individuals or businesses that do not comply with the Biden's administration proposed the COVID-19 mandate. And so, the vaccine mandate. So, you're seeing that this, you know, they're trying to come up with these bills. My friends, Biden's not going to sign it. This goes back to how important it is that both houses flip. This goes back to how important, remember I said this a week ago, that if both houses flip and if both houses are aware of the constitutional infraction that Congress made, that they're being sued for violating the Constitution, and that there is a judgment out there waiting upon them, there's no reason why these Republicans could not actually follow the judgment and follow the constitutional remedy. Because if you want to see it happen, it could happen. You could see in 2023, in just a little over a year, how Republicans could take office in Congress and then take control of both houses and then say, look, we realize that we're under a lawsuit that because we violated the Constitution and that we accepted an unconstitutional electoral college. So what we have done is illegitimate and we have to fix this. And now Congress would have the ability to unseat Biden by going into the chambers and actually having each house, or I should say each state in the House, delegates vote. So you'd have 50 total votes. Each state gets one vote. And the states would actually vote for who would be president based on the 2022 candidates or 2020 candidates, which means Trump would become president. Then it would go to the House, or I should say the Senate. And if the Senate flips, it would then go to Pence. Well, then Pence would probably come in very short-termed, and Trump would probably let him go and say, I think I need a different vice president. Because basically Pence has been running around as a part of the deep state and as a part of the establishment and supporting, you know, the never Trump concepts. Anyway, anywho, I'm telling you that this has to be a conversation. If this becomes a common conversation where people are aware and understand what Congress could do if both houses flip, that Trump could be president, could become president in 2023, and then in 2024 maintain his presidency. In 2024, he would be able to run again in 2024. Why? Because he would not be considered, if it's less than 2 years when you get injected, that doesn't count. So in this particular case, if you go through the amendment, and I forget which it is, maybe it's the 20th or what have you, that made it so that you couldn't, a president couldn't have 3 terms in office, the being seated in 2023 would not be considered a term. Because it was a failing of Congress, and Congress basically had to then seat him, but it was not considered a full term because it has to be 2 years or more for it to be a term. And it would be basically a year and probably 10 months or what have you. But anyway, that is actually a legal and legitimate byproduct or outcome that could easily come. So what is the part of the conversation you're going to start having with Republicans and letting people know that Trump could actually become president in 2023? Get informed and get involved. You got to help carry this message. And if you can't carry the message, let us know. Maybe what we'll do is create a video. That actually seems like a good idea, to actually create a video so that you can just play this and send this around. And we can kind of cover how Trump could actually become president and then reelected in 2024. Anyway, J. Edward Griffin reports, radicalized immigrant youths followed Kristen Sinema, as you understand this, this happened just a week ago or so, into the bathroom and actually went after her. What we want to do is we want to come back to this because we're just going into break. So when we come back, we will cover this fiasco that happened where these rowdy youth intimidated a U.S. senator. We'll be right back after these messages.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, actually, before I get into that next need-to-know news story, I forgot to do this, and I want to make you think about this, because there's only one point in the Constitution where the government has this ability for compulsion of U.S. citizens. Now, they can compel the states to bring forth the militia and federalize them to execute the laws of the Union and those types of things. But to compel upon the private citizens and their property, this is the only constitutional power that they have to force you to do anything. And it's the Third Amendment. And it says, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner. In other words, they can't compel you to take up, you know, and take care of some soldier who is in the service of the country. Unless, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So, in other words, they can't do this, but they have to actually declare war, and then they actually have to create the law to do it. So the circumstances have to be very dire where the federal government can impose upon your life to quarter some military people in your barn, shed, or within your home. This is as far as the Constitution allows the federal government to compel somebody. And now they have gone as far as now they have the power to inject you with this harmful vaccine that has been killing people. And if you don't believe that, actually this just happened where an active duty police officer in Denver took the vaccine and all of a sudden became paralyzed because he lost the function and use of his legs. While he was in the hospital, while they're trying to figure out what's going on, he had a stroke. Well, just remember that if he dies, it won't be counted as a COVID vaccine death. because they don't count those deaths until you've actually survived the shot for 14 days. If the shot kills you beforehand, they do not count it as the shot killed you. You just died of, you know, whatever circumstances, like of COVID. Oh, well, you just died of COVID, not of the shot. Do you understand how corrupt? Do you understand how bad it really is? What do we have to do to prove to you that they can't be doing this? And what they're doing is it's that insane. Anyway, radicalized immigrant youth followed Christine Sinema Sunday, which was basically not yesterday, but 2 weeks, a week ago from Sunday, when she left her teaching classroom in Arizona State University. Apparently, she's a teacher on the side, and she entered into the classroom. They boxed her in the stall and filmed her as they pressured her to vote in favor of the $2.3 trillion infrastructure Build Back Better bill that provides a path to citizenship for immigrants and violates the Constitution itself. Immigrants living in the U.S. The activists are affiliated with the LUCHA. Now, what I need to do real quick is I actually need to come up with what the heck does the LCHU or what have you, what is that? What is that acronym? LUCHA. I'm trying to find what the acronym stands for. Living United for Change in Arizona. Now, this sounds like it might be a La Raza organization, probably, because it's all for giving and granting direct access to citizens without having to learn anything, without having to actually follow the immigration laws. This is how we're legitimizing people that aren't truly Americans. They're not United States citizens because they were not brought through the immigration process. They were being brought through a back door and being allowed to become citizens, all in violation of the Constitution. I'm here to tell you that if we absolutely have control and compliance of the U.S. Constitution, any and all people who receive citizenship through the back door can be, their citizenship can be revoked and removed, and they can be removed from this nation. How and why? Because you can't become a legitimate citizen without going through the legitimate process. And because the federal government has no power to do that. It's all fraud. Their citizenship is fraudulent. It's time we actually start holding the government accountable in every facet. They need to start complying before they actually get everything in place to destroy our Constitution and then kill us. Because bottom line, those of us who understand what's going on, we're going to be the big threat. And it's sad that people, the conservative entertainers, they don't even understand this because they're not talking about this. Some of them might be in a roundabout way, but I don't think they realize that every time a Bolshevik revolution comes to full fruition, those who are considered the threat are taken out and killed. The killing fields, Pol Pot, Stalin did it, Mao did it. I mean, every facet in every society when a despot rises to power, Hitler did it. I mean, come on. Millions and millions and millions of people have died over a rise to power because these people that were killed were considered a threat to their power. Anyway, so the activist affiliated with this Lucha, which is listed as a partner for the Center of Popular Democracy, funded with millions of dollars every year by George Soros' Open Society Foundation, SEMA opposed a $3.5 trillion budget. The activists are now being probed by authorities, and actually, I believe some of them have been charged and are in custody and will, what should happen is that they're going to face a trial, but what should happen is they should be deported. They should be deported, period. They're invaders. Just remember that. They are invaders. J. Edward Griffin, three Pfizer scientists were covertly filmed. In other words, they didn't know about it. They were covertly filmed, and each said that the antibodies from natural immunity after exposure to COVID-19 leads to equal, if not better, protection against the virus compared to the vaccine. Nick Carl, who worked on the COVID vaccine, said that the vaccine passports in New York City are a form of coercion because it is simpler to take the jab than deal with the inconveniences from not doing so. Chris Croce, a Pfizer senior associate scientist, described his job by saying, "I still feel I work for an evil corporation because it comes down to the profits in the end. I mean, I'm there to help people, not to make millions and millions of dollars. So, I mean, that's the moral dilemma." G. Edward Griffin, follow the money in the Need to Know News. Follow the money to discover who is behind the pandemic and also restructuring global money. David Martin, PhD, a featured speaker at the Red Pill Expo, explains that the architects of COVID-19 have been planning to readjust the global financial system for a long time. He says billionaire Dustin Moskovitz, the co-founder of Facebook, hides in the shadows behind his foil. Mark Zuckerberg, Moskovitz, wrote the check to fund the event in the event 201, which is an event that I guess just happened, I don't know about. A meeting that took place just weeks before the COVID-19. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about this. Okay, so this was the precursor, letting everybody know what was going to happen before the 19 pandemic was announced, that created new policies on how to make people compliant during a pandemic. Dustin Moskovitz also has an investment in CRISPR technology that Martin says will be unveiled as the future of humanity after the original human genome is destroyed. David Martin, PhD, is an inventor, financier, professor, and entrepreneur who will be speaking at the Red Pill Expo held in Lafayette, Louisiana, on November 6th. The list of speakers and tickets to attend this event or streaming can be found, so you can get your access at redpillexpo.org. You know, I did go by the obligatories of Timber Nation and radiodustcovers.com. Friends, if you are planning on going to Red Pill Expo, you better get your tickets. We're just weeks away. I think it's less than 3 weeks now. It's under 3 weeks. So you better get hot. You better get involved. And I better give Mr. Happel a call tonight or this week. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin, and do I have the time? No, I don't. I've just got seconds left. So we'll get back into the G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News in our next episode. But friends, they're coming at us in every direction possible. You have an opportunity to actually take back your county, and so that you actually have the ability to set up communities of safety and all sorts of things in creating a constitutional county. Get informed, get involved, reach out, call us 425-270-5416. I'm GR Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.